No, you're not muted, Luca. You just want to let the people hear the song first before you start the show. Oh, okay. There we go. And the last turnaround, I can bring the volume down and say, how's everybody doing? This is Luca Maino. We are back. Yes, we are. On Learn to Unlearn. Learning to unlearn is probably the most important things we'll ever do in life. And I am super glad to be back with everybody today. I hope you got me loud and clear. Yes, we do. Okay, so that sounds like we're back at school again. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, I've got you loud and clear, you know. Class, listen to Mr. Stadenko. Class, right? And we have our world-class producer. Yes, I did turn my my timer on. Steve, oh, that's what I should call him. He's got an Indian name now. Yes, I turned my timer on. Steve, that's our producer's name.
funny.
Yeah. Yes, I turned my I got to say that right. Yes, I turned my timer on. Steve, okay, I got to write that because it's all got to be, you know, that's how everybody got their name. Ironically, that's how the Indians got their name because they were being watched by the elders and, you know, yeah, it's the truth. So, you know, we're really doing good. Yeah, chat booted me too. I noticed that all of a sudden reconnect. I went, oh, okay. So, yes, the show is going to be a pretty good one and a pretty powerful one. So there probably are some negative entities out there. I was going to say entities and engine and energies at the same time. Tongue twister. No, it's true, because the more strength you you give with good energy and good intent, the more of the bad energies try to come in. You know, there's always problems with the internet. Now there was problems with the chat. That's fine. You just sit there and smile, and if I get disconnected, I'll just reconnect, right? That's how we have to be. And I have something for our super producer, Steve. 1 second, we have to get this right.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
There we go. That's done. So anyway, how are you doing, Steve? Wait, what's going on? Are you doing good at pool or what? What's happening?
Do we have clearance, Clarence? Roger.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I'm airplane. Here.
Yep, we're good.
Yes.
Good to go.
Are you doing good with pool? What's been up?
I have been lately, except I had some bad luck last Wednesday. I got pool Monday and Wednesday, so.
Yes, because I've been watching some really amazing pool shots, and I'm just going like, wow, you know. And it's like me. I had the chance to get good at it. I always talk about the guy who showed me how to play with one hand behind his back, playing with, you know, the chin on the cue, one hand, and he would clear the table before anybody would have a chance to. Most of the time. It's just amazing. And, you know, it shows, like, with music, too.
I know a guy that can do that, too.
Huh?
I know a guy that can do that, too.
Oh, wow. So it's your craft and how good you are at your craft. And, you know, that's something that resonates with me, too, because I'm always saying how long it takes to get good at stuff. You know, how long it takes. You know, it would have taken 30 years to become a really good nurse and be, you know, situated in your craft, or, you know what I mean? And I'm just so glad I didn't do that, because I would have been one of those that would have fell right through the cracks. You know, no, I'm not getting vaccinated. Oh, you no longer a nurse, you know, or something, or a doctor, or, you know, oh, you can't go overseas with your band because you're not, you know, you're refusing the vaccine, you know. Anything at all. I'm just so glad that my life ended up where I'm at right now, because this is going to be another angry segment, anger segment, a positive anger segment. And I want to mention a few things, and I want you to hear a few things. And I even cleaned up a few things so there won't be any swear words. But you know what? I want to start sitting down and having, you know, making sure everybody's got a log to sit on, and we're sitting around the fire and it's my turn to talk, right? And I want to say hello to everybody in the chat also. Boston Mark, Sarah, Melissa, and say hello to my other mom too. And I'm really glad that Stephen and I get along, because Bible Thumper Mom calls him her son. And as soon as I showed up, it was my other son. And I don't want to hear that she says that to everybody. I'd like to think I'm special, and I am. So it's good that Stephen and I get along, because we're brothers now. So
That's right.
That's it. And that's just doing good together. And I'm just really proud to be on the air with everybody. I'm proud to have the responsibility that I have to share. So let me start with something that'll get you maybe to know me a little bit better. I told you guys about what happened to me when I saw God at 9 or 10 years old on the balcony. I do believe, Steve, I told you guys that, right? I told you guys that one. About how angry I was, and I told God, you know, if there is a God, I want to see, you know, rain, thunder, lightning, and hail on my balcony in 15 minutes, and that happened. So on the heels of that story comes another story that I was thinking of and that I remembered. It was in the same time, too. It was in the same time frame. It was after that happened that I got my confirmation that God does exist. Yes, there is a power greater than you. Wow. So off to Nice, France, we go from Geneva, Switzerland. We drove to Nice, my mother and I, to go see her friend, and I was invited. And I even had a room to myself. And if I told the story before, you know, so be it. I'm even happier because I get to tell it again. I get a beautiful room, and I have a beautiful wooden chalet, okay, with a wooden side of one wall that was part of the chimney, and a huge crucifix on the wall, on the chimney, on the rock. It was really beautiful, really, really nice. Really well made. And that was my room. So they left me in that room. And so pretty soon I'm looking around and I'm looking at the cross. And this is the first time I'm really seeing him on the cross since the movie that I saw, which got me all fired up that first time that I told you about, Jesus of Nazareth. And I was so upset that that's when that happened. I went to my room and I said, if there is a God, you know, because I was so upset. And that's what happened, okay? So I'm sitting here on my bed looking at this thing. It's not that big. Luca, you could take it off if you tried. So I'm at his foot, or at his feet, and I'm playing with the nail, and it comes loose. And I'm going, nobody that loves somebody puts him up on a cross like that. Like, he didn't deserve that. So I'm sitting there taking him off the cross, okay? And I had enough grip that I could take the entire crucifix off the wall and put it on the bed. By the time I'm kind of hitting on the third nail to take the other hand out, they both walk in. My mother and her friend walk in at the same time. And I'll never forget both of the reactions. My mother was embarrassed. She was going to scream and yell at me and slap me around or something. And her friend was, she just grabbed her face with both hands and went, oh, how beautiful. Oh, my God. You know, and she was, you know, she immediately calmed everything down. And I said, what? And they both sat down on the bed and explained to me for the first time what this was. And I said, you know, if you love somebody, you don't do that. You know, and this is 9 or 10 years old, 10 or 11 around that time. So taking Jesus off the cross. Yes. And it was just magic that, you know, those nails could be taken out. So it's just food for thought, because, you know, this is, you know, children, you know, children are given gifts that adults miss. You know, I don't know an adult in my life that would have even thought of doing something like that. Right. But when you're young, you remember that meme that you might've seen with that young girl, I believe it was in Germany or something. And she's in a park and she sees that statue of the crucifix and him on his knees under the cross, and she runs to go help. There's this 5 or 6 year old girl in a skirt kneeling down trying to help Jesus get up. And she doesn't understand that it's a statue. She doesn't understand what the statue is about. So I was blown away by that. And I thought of it and I said to myself, my friends here are going to love this story. And ever since then, it's just been anger and anger and anger and anger. Anger all the time, just building up. Righteous anger, okay? I even had one person like literally email me telling me thank you for talking about anger, for talking about righteous anger. And there's Moon that joins us. Hello, Moon. So this is really what I want to come across with, because when you're angry in a good way, it's motivational, it's positive, it's strengthening, it's empowering. And you can really build on that because it's not negative at all. It's not negative at all. And I'm pretty well proof of that, because if it was, I would have gotten my cancer all over again and I would have died all over again. But I'm far from it. And my immune system is going through the roof. So this is kind of a way to try and deal with the true self, you know, the true self in us, the person that we're supposed to be looking at, the deep dive we're supposed to be doing to be better people for the earth and for the people around us, right? It sounds silly, but we've been talking, especially with Roger Landry and I, we've been talking about network for quite some time, because if anybody who knows Roger Landry knows about his intro for his Eradicating Programmed Ignorance shows, and that's a clip from the movie Network. And I said to myself, you know what, mad as hell, wow, you know, why don't you run that again, Luca, and remind them? And so I'm listening to it, and there's that GD word right in the middle of it, you know. So I said, you know what, I'm going to cut that out. And boy, did I ever cut it out. You can't even tell it was in there. So that one bad word has been taken out. And it's phenomenal. This is in 1976, okay? And then you think of what you know about Hollywood and what you know about movie making and what you know about Israel being in the shadows in Hollywood, guiding movies, guiding Schindler's List, guiding JFK, guiding different things like that. You know, and Israel is behind one of the most violent movies that there are in Hollywood, as we know. Producers like Arnon Milchan will show you that, right? And you're sitting there going, okay, well, think of making the movie Network, and this guy's mad as hell, and he blows his stack in the middle of the movie, and oh, what a beautiful movie. You're thinking, wait a second, these guys wrote this script, okay? And another show, and I played this, yeah, we're gonna have similarities on this show, you and I, Annie. Wait till the second half. Network, okay? Mad as hell, okay? And this is clean, so you won't hear the swear. And just think, 1976, think of how they're playing with us, okay, when you listen to this.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressmen, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Uh-oh, he's going to get mad.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to...
And he gets madder and madder and madder, and it's that's where the movie comes out, and that's where, you know, that whole scene shifts to Faye Dunaway looking at her, looking at him going nuts like that. Just very good movie. So anyway, I was listening to it and he says the GD word really loud. And I went, oh yeah, no, that's not going to work, Luca. And it worked out perfectly. You know, my life has value, you know? Okay. So you're talking righteous and motivational anger. Okay. So how did my motivational anger start? Like, what really happened? Like, what was the beginning? What was the really, like, you know, the tipping point? And I can always remember that one time when I started hearing about John Pilger. Yeah, okay. And the kind of guy he is, and how he writes and what he does. And he was talking about how the, you know, U.S. military is just sitting there, you know, blowing up atomic bombs. And I'm like, yeah, in Bikini, out of all places, right? The name Bikini. And it really upset me when I found out 66 nuclear devices were blown up in the Marshall Islands between 1946 and 1958, the equivalent of 1.6 Hiroshima bombs going off every day for 12 years. I've said that before. I have to say it again. I could say it every show. People don't, you know, we've seen one atomic bomb blowing up, okay? Can you imagine 1.6 Hiroshima bombs every day for 12 years? This is how much they care about human life. This is how much they care about aquatic life. Oh, yeah, and they have a dome. They have a dome built for the radioactive waste. Yeah, it's cracking right now. It's been cracked for years. Right. The trees grow in a crooked formation. Nothing moves. There's no birds. They've destroyed life possibly for about 200 miles in a circular direction, okay, in every direction. And then you look and there's the deep emerald blue, gorgeous turquoise color of the sea becomes a huge black hole that the hydrogen bomb Bravo blew it to smithereens. So I'm like, wow, this is, you know, not only did it piss me off, okay, but it's like, you know, and then you see 9/11, and then, you know, oh, okay, well, the Oklahoma City bombing was really the matchmaker for me, if I can call it that, because that's what you look at the Oklahoma City bombing, as you know, from what I've told you about it, and I've already done a show on it many times before. But I'll do it again anytime. I'll be happy to. It's like you just with one little false flag like that, like they'd be calling it, you go all over the world. Iraq is involved. You know, Washington is involved. There's, you know, wars going on. There's all kinds of countries involved. My anger has been rising to the point where I think God has been looking down going, you know, no, you just have to, it's not anger, Luca. You have to get knowledge first. You know, you have to learn first. Then we can get you behind a mic, you know, but we can't get you behind a mic if you're going to sit there and talk nonsense and talk anger without talking something good behind it. Right? Well, the crux of my anger came when I'm really finding out about Tesla. I don't know why. I just, you know, there's all kinds of stuff coming out about him and how he did this for humanity, he did that for humanity, and how an old version of the CIA went in there and stole absolutely everything that he did, and nobody heard a word about it. Just like everything else.
Wasn't that the FBI?
Oh, same difference.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same
Nikola
thing.
Tesla, in this case, he predicts the modern cell phone in 1926. Old people are going to say, oh, that's hearsay. That's not true. How do you know that?
And the internet, too.
You know?
And the internet, too, Luca.
This is the quote from him. We shall be able to communicate with one another instantly, irrespective of distance. Not only this, but we shall hear one another with as perfectly as though we were face to face. A man will be able to carry one in his pocket. Okay? Some people tried to debunk that. What are you going to debunk that for? It's a waste of energy. Either take it or leave it. It resonated with me. That coupled with stuff like energy and vibration that he was working on for people to clean themselves without water or soap. You go into a place and the energy and the vibrations take off of your, you know, your body, the, what do they call that? The odor causing bacteria. Like this was all figured out. It was all working. It was all ready to go. Right. And we have no idea about it. I just found out yesterday from my best friend, one of the things that I just said that I didn't even hear about before. And all of his inventions, you know, like think of, Edison, think of, Thomas Edison over him, looking at him going, oh, okay, you know, yeah. See, why are they always ready to cut down and to murder and to steal people's ideas? Why can't we just enjoy them and, you know, swim inside the joy of doing something good for? No, we can't do that. No, it's always destroy everything all the time. This is what we're seeing. My entire life I've been looking at this. To the point where, you know, the kitchen, your kitchen was a sacred place before. Oh, there were medicines, there were herbs, and the good person in the kitchen, the good cook, would be called the kitchen witch. You know why? And this is so cool because this goes right back to Native American tradition also with me. The kitchen witch would be the one who would pray over the food. Who would pray over, you know, preparing, you know, I want my love for my family to go into this food. And literally, you know, asking for help for the family to heal and to be better all the time, doing things in prayer all the time. And because you live in Satan's world, yes, and you keep Creator God closest to you, nothing can harm you. Remember the blood on the door, right? That's my theory. You keep God in your heart. You keep love in your heart. And you don't talk that language. You don't talk that language, that negative, the bad, the you know, Satan's language, you know, not money, the love of, the abuse of, the exaggeration of, yes. And that's what's going to, that's why the Hopi are saying, if you have any kind of spirituality in you, you will be okay. You will be going through what's coming. If you want to save others, if you want to do things for other people, some of us will even give our lives to save others. You know, it doesn't matter, right? What does it matter? What does my life matter if through my death, 1,000 people get to be woken, you know, to the truth? That was a 21-year-old's last words before being executed. In World War II. I wanted to relate something else too, because people are not thinking. With the instability that's going on, you know, in the best of times, people don't think. Okay, we've seen people with two masks on and the mirror thing on them, on their face with the windows rolled up, driving by themselves. Okay, we've seen some amazing things, and I'm sure Steve can chime in on that one. But nobody thinks. This is why I'm always saying, like, I have a little piece of paper sticking up there, and it says, It's all an IQ test. This is all to tell you how people think. If you think, you're going to be okay. If you don't think, well, okay, you know. I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to leave because you have to have a mask on to stay in here. You know? There's a really good scene in the movie Day After Tomorrow where this guy's father is a meteorologist and he's telling his own son, stay in the library. Stay with all the people there. Keep warm. Let it go by. Stay warm, okay? Trust yourself. Stay inside the library, okay? There are about 200 people there. There's one, whatever you want to call him, police officer who grabs the attention of everybody and says, we got to go. We got to get out of here. We got to motivate. We got to move. We have to beat this storm. It's like minus 200 degrees out. Okay, and he knows from his father that you stay put, you will be okay. And there's this one police officer telling everybody who doesn't think half the time that don't make any educated decisions for themselves. You just see them swarm over to the police officer, right? And they all go outside, and there's nothing he can do. There's nothing this guy can do. I don't know, some of you might know cinematography when you're walking forward and you're filming backwards, or you're walking forward and you're zooming out, you're doing two opposites, you get that drain of the picture and it looks like you're pulling on it. That's exactly what the feeling was. You have 150 people at least going outside with the police officer, not even listening to him. They all died. They all died, every one of them. See? So it's the people that can think. It's the people that can – critical thinking. That was on the other show that I heard around an hour and a half before my show. I was listening to Shake and Wake, and they were talking about that. They were talking about trying to break critical thinking of the masses, try to destroy our pride, the victim mindset, keep us weak, keep us blaming the victim. Always assigning blame, thinking selfishly, right? Justifying our actions. Well, it's because of this that I'm doing that. It's because of this. Okay? That's what they're trying to do. They can't destroy America, like Roger Landry would say, until they get Americans to their knees. They haven't killed all of those good men yet. I know two of them right here, or three actually, with our brother, Boston Mark, that I know that I can name right off the top of my head. You know what I mean? So, and Rick, heaven forbid, Rick was a big one. And he is a big one for me because I'm learning every time. I'm always learning about Rick. Every time I talk to Annie, every time I go do a show. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Rick. We're going to talk a little bit about me and my impression of Shake and Wake Radio and my impression of everybody listening and my impression of my life since I've been here. I'm going to take you for a little ride when we come back. But before we do, it's all about going inside. We have to find out what we're good at. We have to find out how we can give. And be the opposite. You know, we see churches that are set up right now. You know, the Baptist church that's set up so that you do not go in there unless you're going to give to the till. You have to give money or you're not staying here. You're not welcome. Can you believe it? Okay. There are churches doing that now. Before it was a matter of, you know, you can pay if you can. You know, it's wonderful. We love you. You know, no. There's a guy sitting there in front of the door, making sure that people pay before they go, you know, or you can't go. What are you trying to say? You're going to, you know, keep us hostage? Unbelievable. So everything is crooked, and it's the people that can stay on their foundation, which they know they're supposed to stay on, that are going to be fine. And you're going to watch the world fall apart around you. You really will. I'm completely convinced. We have people that are totally just falling apart already. And it's so obvious that, you know, the world's trying to pull the people that don't have a high IQ or that don't have the acumen to know better. Okay. It's not that they're less than we are. it's actually it's so dramatic. It's so sad. It's heartbreaking. But you know, there's a lot of people that are gonna that are not understanding this, and you know that. Put it this way, you know, we reap what we sow, right? So, you know, at the best of times, I don't think I'm that strong of a person. So, you know, wow, you know, some people that we see in today's world, it's like, okay, you know, I thought I was bad. Well, pat on their shoulder. Luca, you're doing pretty good, I must say. Whew. So, we're going to be right back after the break. We're going to dive in again, but in a good way. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Wow, this is something else. Wow, I'm having the time of my life here. I'm really doing DJ work, and this is live. Whoa, okay. You know, when it comes to Christmas and you know you have a surprise that you really worked on hard from your heart for that one person in your family, and you just know it's going to be one of those, just like, right? But you can't say anything, you know? So, okay, so I won't say anything. Intro to the music segment. Okay, so I have a question. I have a serious question. Let me take a drink first. What do you do for people when you care about them? What do you do for people when you want to let them know that you have their back? What do you do for people when you just want to let them know you care? Okay. Well, Luca, just be yourself, listen to them, and watch them and listen. Listen to them and learn, talk less, learn from them, and learn about the things that are important to them and where they all come from. And just be there, right? Well, next week is going to be 21 years that, you know what? I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it, and you'll know who wrote it. It's been, it's hard to believe that it will be 21 years on 2/20/24. That I lost my best friend, Tina Marie Ayer, and my dear friend, Mike, Dr. Metal Gonzalez, in the station night fire. The station was located in West Warwick, Rhode Island. The station nightclub caught fire at 11:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when the band Great White lit off their illegal pyro, thus engulfing the entire nightclub. In less than 3 minutes, 100 souls were lost that night. Rick and I were on the way to go see the band Great White, but our van was running rough on the highway, so we turned around. We had to turn around and head back home. We found out via the news at 4 o'clock in the morning that the club burnt down in a matter of minutes. Rick made a beautiful cross for Tina. And by the way, Mike Gonzalez, Dr. Metal was a DJ at 94 WHJY, Providence, Rhode Island. I worked with him there for 6 years. I answered the request line for many DJs there. He introduced Great White that night. He was seen outside the backstage door, but he tried to go in to save two friends that he was with, Lisa and Judy, and never came back out.
light tonight. While we are here still missing you, trapped in these chains of pain. So many we could blame. Where you are now, my best friend, you can see all clear. You have no pain or fear, but I am still out here, living in a world in a haze of pain and tears. And your loving voice I can no longer hear, my best friend. You are wrapped up in heaven's light tonight.
Jeeves. Dr. Aziz Matthew Stevens of the Brian Center at URI in March.
I see we're only a couple hours away from
Breakfast of Champions.
Coming up another 40-minute music marathon. Looks like Judas Priest on the way. Bush, Deep Purple, Puddle of Mud, and more with me, the Doctor.
HJY, your home of rock and roll. That is Fade to Black. It's a tribute to Mike Gonzalez, Dr. Metal, here at the radio station. Some of the last recorded stuff he did here mixed in with Fade to Black. Now you're doing a
special anniversary show for the Metal Zone, celebrating the show being on for 33 years, but also a tribute to Doc and all those that we lost in the station Nightclub Fire. We do it every year, and this Saturday night will be the one we do this year, kicking off at midnight. And also, don't forget, if you can't listen on your regular radio, you can also go on the iHeart app and listen to all 3 hours of the show on there, too. Soon to be 4 hours, right,
wow.
Doc?
Why
right?
Not?
And if you can't be a part of it, you know what? We'll do it again next year. How's that? I'll start here. I'll ask, first of all, if everybody's okay with me doing that next week, because I'd like to do it 2 weeks in a row. I really would. I'd like to do what I just played 2 weeks in a row in honor of them. And if you'd like to do that, we will. And I just want to get an okay from the people in the chat if it's okay for me to do that next week. And if everybody would like it, or if it hurts too much and they'd rather not, and that's fine too. So just please let me know. And I just want to spend a minute to just relax. Whoa. And take a breather for a minute. Well, good. I'm glad to see that. Both Melissa and Boston Mark, I wish I could take a screenshot of that. They both said, yes, let's do it again. Okay, well, you know what? This is from me to you because we are here to get to know each other better. We're here to build a pillar system of strength together. And it's not about us. It's not about me, okay? Gulp. You know what? During the YouTube video that we just played at the end, the 6 minutes in honor of Dr. Mike, I was getting goosebumps and I was shaking. Try not to write. Just don't write for a minute. I was shaking, literally. You know, I don't know any of you, okay? And I'm sitting here feeling like this is, you know, it's a part of me. So we are going to do it. And you know what? We can record it again and you know who's got the recordings of it. And we thank Steve from the bottom of our heart also to be able to archive all of these shows for me in particular. So it's with a sad heart, but with a strong heart because we have people backing us up. We're not alone in this world. So let's go to Israel for a minute or two. Actually, you know what? No, we're going to go to the basketball team first. I thought this was really cool. And I wanted to share this, not because it's news, okay, but because I want people to think. It's really interesting. I wasn't going to post it because it's kind of political, right? But check this out. Okay, so the Ireland basketball team decides not to shake hands with the Israeli team, a girls basketball team. They decide not to shake hands. One of the girls from the Israeli team hurled out a racist comment. So this is what I fell on. Okay, really interesting comments, and I wrote all of them down. So you get a taste of every one of them. Check this out. One person says, politics should have no place in sport. Okay. I mean, they are young. That's a good point, right? They shouldn't be punished for the idiocies of politics. I agree with that, too. Another one. Those young girls aren't responsible for what's going on out there. Okay. Exactly what we said. Another one says, one of the opposition players accused them of being anti-Semitic in the days leading up to the game. So players chose not to travel, and the ones who played made a protest in response. It was their own message done their own way. Fair play to them. Okay, another one says, congratulations, honor to Ireland. You know what the last one says? Listen up. And all those girls will end up serving on the IDF as it is compulsory for young Israelis. That one really bothered me. That one really got me. Because young girls, like Steve, you're looking at the picture, if you're looking at the screen right now, they're young Israeli girls, and that's it. That's compulsory. They have to go in the IDF. See? So, wow. You know, you're trying to be young kids playing a game, you know, and it's so deeply rooted, the racism, the hate. You know, we can talk about that for quite a while, and it's really scary. See? So it's inescapable. And the people who have parents at home who love them and tell them the truth, they'll be educated. You know, and it's, wow. And I want to have a, I want to give a shout out. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce her name properly, but I hope I am. Hind Rajab. I think it's Hind or Hind. H-I-N-D. I'll say both ways. Hind and Hand. Hind Rajab. Okay. After 12 days of being missing, following an Israeli shelling on her family car, the body of the 6-year-old girl, Hind or Hind Rajab, was along with the bodies of 5 of her family members, were found at the Tal al-Hawa neighborhood of Gaza City. Medical sources reported that the family of Hind or Hind, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it, found her body this morning, and the bodies of those that were in the vehicle. Imagine if you're in the vehicle and your family members die in the vehicle with you and you're the only one alive. Wow. You know, and this is like day to day for these people over there. And the Palestinian Red Crescent also confirmed that the 2 medics, Youssef Zainio and Ahmad Al-Madhun, dispatched to the rescue of the little girl, have been found as dead bodies inside their ambulance in the same neighborhood after being missing for 12 days. So it's, you know, it's something I wanted to say, just as if to say, you know, we understand and we know that, you know, we think we have problems and we think we have a bad day. Wow. You know? And it breaks my heart to even have to talk about it. But as I take a sip of my water, we are doing good. And I'm glad we were able to show some humanity in a stronger format, because, you know, most people are just living life without meaning. They're living life just from minute by minute, minute to minute, without thinking, you know, and just automatic, autopilot, whatever. You know, get up, go to work, come back, go to bed. Get up, go to work, you know. I'm just really blessed to be in an environment, in a family, quote unquote, like yours, and to be able to build on that and to have you allow me to build on that. It's really special. So my next offering, probably my last one for the show, there's a homeless guy at Popeyes. And it says, I gave the person, you know, homeless guy at Popeyes, I gave him loose money out of my pocket, and he said, thank you. So I asked him, like, you know, how did you get to this point? He looks up and he smiles and he says, showing love. And I asked, I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I went through my whole life making sure everyone else was okay, no matter what was going right or wrong in my life, I did for others. That's all I wanted to do, was do good for others. I never wanted to see others go without. And I said, do you regret it? His answer is priceless. He says, no. It just hurts me down to my soul that the very people that I gave my shirt off my back to won't even give me a sleeve off of that same shirt when I'm in need. He said, it's better to build your own house and invite someone in for shelter than to hand them your bricks while you're building yours. Because you keep handing them bricks from your house that you're supposed to be building for yourself. You're going to turn around one day and that at that spot where you had planned to build your house, it'll be an empty lot. And then you're the one looking for bricks. You know, in French, they say, La charité bien ordonnée commence avec soi-même. And that comes right out of the Bible. Charity, the best charity possible starts with yourself. Or the, I'm not sure what, how to say that, or what the proverb is, or what the scripture is for that. You know, it starts at home. Everything starts at home. Oh, there it is again. The only way out is in. We have to figure out, this is the war we're in, whether we like it or not. We have to figure out what our place is in it. That's it. That's all we have to do. Figure out what we can do, what our place is in it. We didn't start this. I'm not responsible for this. Oh, there, I wish I could have said the S word. Oh, I didn't start this. Okay? But you know what? There are people among us, like Henry David Thoreau, and I'm always going to be talking about Thoreau and Emerson because they're my heroes. And, you know, this little Yankee grew up around Walden Pond. I was born in Lexington, Massachusetts, and I grew up around Cambridge and Walden Pond. We were always doing the tour of Walden Pond every Sunday that we could. And I never knew about Henry David Thoreau's cabin. And the sign that I'm going to read to you that's right in front of his door, of his cabin. Among rocks now, a pile of rocks where his cabin used to be. I think they have a model of it built, if I'm not mistaken. He says, I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and to see if I could not learn, to see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when it came to die, discovered that I had not lived. You know, instead of being in this capitalistic society that just wants, you know, to make you buy and buy and buy and buy and, you know, shed it all. Do the opposite. Let it go. Give it away in love. Give everything you have, right? Practice losing what you love the most and give it away. That's the most beautiful thing you could ever do. And the more you do for others, the more you're going to get the blessings. You know, if people knew that, there'd be a lineup. I swear there'd be a lineup if people knew that. The blessings that you get when you give, wow. You know? And there's a picture of a little kid, a little Indian boy, probably no more than 10 or 11 years old, who's leaning against the tree with both hands on it and his third eye on it. And it says, trees are sanctuaries. Whoever knows how to speak to them, whoever knows how to listen to them, they learn the truth. They preach the ancient laws of life, the ancient laws of nature. And they say that the human beings were the first ones to lose the original instructions, to lose the language. Language before, like you're talking tens of thousands of years ago, it was a universal language that every entity had. All our relations had this language. And everybody talked the same language, the birds, the bees, the flowers. And apparently the human beings were the ones to lose the language first. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because it can be so easily prostituted. You know, the truth can be so easily twisted. Steve, I hope I'm not ranting again. He's being really quiet again.
Ranting about what? I mean, we only got about a minute left here, but.
No, I know. I just want to make sure he was still there, because you were so quiet. I was going, is he there? Hello?
Well, I was listening to the tribute there, then I had to go to the bathroom, so I missed about a minute so. But
no, that's fine. That's fine. It's just me ranting. And I hope people aren't upset about me taking Jesus off the cross, too, when I was 9 years old. But I think you know my intent. See, and that's, you know, it's all about intent, okay? This is powerful stuff, people. This is a spiritual war, whether people believe it or not. Their intent, okay? Yeah, okay, we'll call it the way it is. Satan's intent is to bring us down, okay? God's intent is to lift us up. And we have to lift each other up and make sure we're keeping up, you know, and that's what the Hopi are saying again. You know, don't be afraid of jumping into the water. Keep your head above water. Help other people to keep their heads above water and have faith and know that, you know, we're in the right direction and we're here for a reason. So I'll be quiet now, because if I don't, So, and we're gonna wish Steve a good pool. Yes, we are. You're going to do amazing, apparently. You do have pool, right?
I sure hope so. Yep, I do.
Okay, well, everybody give him a hug just like you gave Andy a power hug to make her feel better in the beginning of the show. And I am out of here until next week. Love everybody, and please take care. And, yes, I will do the same thing next week, colored a little differently, and that'll give me a chance to say a few different things in prayer mode. So we'll do it again next week. Love you all, and please take care.